Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Warning. This episode contains foul language, some trash talk about human beings, and some more classic mind melting.
Listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, transdimensional, otherworldly, everything mind-melting from the universe we live in and beyond. Each week we have the pleasure of sitting down and chatting about something weird, and this week, you guessed it, is no exception. This week is a continuation of our extraterrestrial episode, or should I say ultra-terrestrial episode. We are joined once again by the amazing, beautiful, talented, and oh-so-strange Caitlin D. from Goth Yearbook After Hours, and this week we are having an open conversation about what we think these beings are here for and how we can have a relationship with them. So set up your lawn chairs, clear your minds, and start chanting your mantra because it's time to meet some aliens. My name is Ashley, and I'm alone recording this. Sometimes it's lonely being a producer. This is one of those days. Now, this week I'm joined, as usual, by my lovely co-host Lauren, and as I said before, Ms. Caitlin D. I hope you guys stuck around for the end of last week's episode, because I added in a little smidge of one of her songs. My favorite one of her songs, actually. It's called Trouble. You can find it on Spotify and YouTube. If you guys are lucky, I might just add more music at the end of this episode. We'll see. Before the three of us take it away, I did want to take a moment to thank some patrons. It's been a while since we've done this, and for that, I apologize. We just had a random streak of episodes that we couldn't fit it into, but we never forget about you guys. You guys are the absolute best. So hello, thank you, and welcome to the Patreon to Anna Tetralt. I am obsessed with your name, and I hope I didn't butcher it. Demi Malinowski. Hi, Demi. Demi is an angel. She is such a good friend. And when I was going through some rough times last year, she sent me bath bombs and fuzzy socks and candles and a scrunchie. And it was just too kind. I love her very much. Alex Ogle. Well, well, well. Mr. Lauren Ogle himself joining the Patreon. We love to see it. Huge thank you to Alex for always supporting our show. Another big thank you to Brianna Rochelle, who's been a patron for a while, but she bumped up her patronage to get some more sweet bonus goods. Hello, and thank you also to Gracia Rojas. I pray to God that I pronounced that correctly, and if I didn't, you have permission to call me out publicly. And last but not least, welcome to the Patreon, my spooky soul sister, Leah Campbell, who, if you are a patron, you heard in February's bonus episode when she was telling us what it was like to be a mortician. And it was awesome. And also, kind of icky, not going to lie. Thank you so much to everyone who donates to our show. You are the reason we have a show and the reason that we can keep going. Obviously, there will come a day where we may have to give in and record some ads, but my promise to you is that not only will we hold off as long as possible, but we'll also make the ads as entertaining as possible for you to listen to. If you want to donate to our show and keep us running ad-free, head over to www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast, where you can donate $1, $5, or $10 to our show once, or you can set it up to donate monthly, and you'll have access to like 45? 45-ish bonus episodes. We have 2 a month that come out. And you'll get a monthly newsletter, discounts on merch, and we'll give you a shout out on the show. All right. Hold on to your butts because we say some crazy shit this week. Enjoy the show. So the major reason we wanted to record these episodes is to have a discussion about why they are here. Because there's a ton of speculation on that. And Joe and I actually covered some of it last week. I don't know if either of you heard last week's episode, but...
Not the entire thing. I need to listen.
So the last like 40 minutes is Joe going on an alien rant,
of course.
You know, if you haven't listened, tune in because that's his favorite thing to talk about. But just so I don't repeat a lot of what happened last episode, essentially, I believe Joe believes a lot of the UFO community believes that you can rule out destruction because if they have the technology that it certainly seems like they have and they've been visiting us for as long as they seemingly have, they could have and would have wiped us out a long time ago.
I agree. If they're as advanced as we all talk about, why wouldn't they have taken us out? What are they waiting for? So that doesn't seem to make any sense.
Doesn't mean that they can't.
Right.
Not everyone's first impulse is I should
murder.
Destroy this.
I know. That's
I
a very
just want to murder.
That's a very human reaction to have.
Unfortunately,
and like, you know, we have government documentation proving that these crafts have been visiting Earth since the 40s, and we've got historical documentation that suggests they've been zipping around our skies and potentially chatting with us throughout all of mankind's history. So I'm pretty sure that they're not here to hurt us, or they would have. So, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about first. Like, we need to talk about human beings' ego, because we see these UFOs in our sky and we immediately think, what do they want with us? It's all about us. Me. Like, we're just so interesting that these beings travel through space and time to watch us, talk to us. Like, probably not. It's probably not the case. And Joe and I actually had this really fantastic conversation a couple months back where we were not sober. And it was so mind-blowing. And at one point during our conversation, it just kind of hit me that, like, as people, and this is sort of if you take it out of the interdimensional spirit guide conversation and you take it back to like beings in crafts from outer space. Mm-hmm. So we're imagining that in this scenario. We as people on planet Earth are so insignificant. Like, we are. We're on a small planet in an infinite universe. We're not really a great species. Like, I'm sorry to everyone who thinks humans are, like, so incredible, but we really aren't.
Lame.
We are incredibly destructive. We are incredibly violent. You know, even if you're a vegan monk who's never used electricity, you're still, like, very incredibly flawed, which does make us interesting. But the idea that an advanced civilization would find us and think, like, these guys are really special is kind of absurd.
It is.
Because we aren't, if you look at it as just bodies. Like, forget souls, forget spirits, forget whatever.
Like, I don't think they're observing us and putting us on a pedestal in any way. Like, I don't think we're this big, significant species of people that they're like, oh, we need to
or
study
that we're
them
just,
and
like,
act
so
like
different.
Them. Yeah.
Like, no.
I do not think that's the case at all. I think we're pretty lame in that aspect.
But there still can be genuine interest in visiting Earth in this scenario, too. Like, one, and this is kind of what I brought up with Joe, like, we're so convinced that they're here for us and they're here to teach us and they're here us. But, like, what if in the center of planet Earth, there's a portal or a door or a wormhole or something that leads to the greatest discotheque in the known universe?
Ooh.
The greatest party in the universe. You have to, like, of course.
We're just like the ants crawling around the door.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if you go into the Pacific Ocean straight down, you're going to hit the wormhole that takes you to the best party in the universe.
Or like Danny DeVito says in Always Sunny, we could just be a sea turtle's dream.
Yeah.
That is so
We could
real.
Be on a sea turtle's back. We don't fucking know.
We're riding through the ocean on a turtle right now.
But, like, if that's the case, you know, they're literally locking their doors as they pass through our atmosphere because Earth is probably, like, traveling through fucking Afghanistan. It's not something where it's like, aren't these people interesting? It's like Earth's approaching, no bathroom breaks until we get to the discotheque, lock the doors, like, don't talk to anybody.
Yes.
Yeah, but in that case, they wouldn't want us to destroy our planet because our planet houses a trans-dimensional Burning Man. Like, it could have nothing to do with us.
They're just trying to get to the planet or the core of our planet, not us at all.
But humans have this ego that immediately is like, it's about us. And it's like, it really might not be. Mm-hmm. Really might not have anything to do with us. But having said that, I actually do believe they're interested in us and interesting in, like, the salvation of our planet. I just don't think it's necessarily for the reason we think it is. I don't think it's because we are necessarily special, but I think it's because they know that all things are special because all things are connected. Every last atom from here to planet Zirpeldorf. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our physics agree with this. You know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. There's, you know, twin photons. Like, if you split and separate a photon, like, no matter what you do to the twin photon, the other will react. Like, it's a real science. And we talk about collective consciousness a lot, right, which I'm going to get into as well. And I think that that's more so what they would be interested in when coming to our planet.
I think a lot of people also identify, like, maybe that listen to this podcast or maybe just too many of my LA friends, like, people identify themselves as, like, having alien consciousness, you know? Mm-hmm. And so partly I think the reason behind that, or at least a way that I can see, like, for the aspect of me that feels like, oh, I have, you know, these parallel lives in other dimensions or realities or what have you. And maybe one of them is this, like, Satya character, you know? Mm-hmm. And for me, my manifestation as a human is, it's like an experiment. It's like going into a video game where it's like, I want to have an adventure. I want to
like
have
an avatar.
Yeah, I want to have a body and be able to feel pain so that I can experience what pleasure feels like and mm-hmm. get bored so I can get inspired and just, like, continue expanding my own consciousness. So it's like, even kind of to the opposite effect of what you're saying, it's like, to some degree, it's like, I'm only interested in my experience on this planet, you know, and as a human being. Or, like, that alien consciousness is just, like, wants to play the character of a human or a cat or a dolphin or whatever because it's, like, fun. And because we have this, like, theater that we've set up that mm-hmm. looks like our solar system and our universe. And, you know, we can't get to the edge of the membrane, like the Truman Show membrane. It's just, like, all our imagination just keeps unfolding. So for me, like, I feel like there can be, like, deeply personal and egoically driven reasons mm-hmm. to come to Earth. But also, you know, like you kind of prefaced in the beginning, that's more of the, like, spiritual perspective. But it also, we're finding more and more that these spiritual practices and narratives line up pretty well with our science the more we find out about our universe and the way it works.
That's very true. I mean, and not that this woman is a good example, but I mentioned her in the last episode, that woman Ula, who was saying she was brought to Earth. You just
Virgin
made me
Mary.
Think of that only because you were saying, like, what if, you know, aliens are taking human form just to experience the human life and then they move on to something else and their consciousness, you know, moves to somewhere else or just, you know, goes back up to another planet or turns into stardust. We don't know. But I did like the idea, whether I believe this specific woman or not, that she may be from this other world or this other dimension, but she wanted to experience life as a human and hopes to teach someone a lesson while she's down here or help with this and this thing. And I don't know. I like that idea that can happen.
And I think it sort of, when people came up with simulation theory and, you know, everyone watched The Matrix and then Elon Musk was like, there's a statistical chance that we're whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, and I love nerds. I'm not saying this in a mean way, but these fucking nerds were like, oh, simulation theory. This is all a computer. Well, yeah, that's what, like, spiritual practices have been saying for centuries. Like, the Bible even says that. Like, this is a simulation of some sort of more scattered, less physical consciousness coming down onto Earth to have some sort of experience.
Yeah.
That's why, and you can get really obsessive about, like, oh, like, if it's someone's computer or whatever, but it's like, you can create that reality. If you want to be living in someone's computer, you can be.
Yeah.
That's still a framework that's very, like, 1980s sci-fi of you to choose, but whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Right.
Yeah, and the reality is, in advanced technologies, like, I'm talking like a billion years into the future, if our civilization were to last that long, advanced technologies wouldn't use computers. Mm-hmm. That's what we're using right now.
Yeah, we're right. Old school.
And we are, we are very much so analog. So, like, the idea of a computer itself will be dated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually. But in Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, they talk about communicating with ETs and what we've supposedly learned from doing so. And to do that, I have to talk about a man named Dr. Stephen M. Greer. And if you've seen the documentaries Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind or Unacknowledged, he had another one.
This is the same guy from Unacknowledged, right? Because yes. I did watch that and loved it.
Yeah. Two very different movies. Unacknowledged is way more about government disclosure, and Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind is way more of the spiritual meditation, mind, body, et cetera, et cetera. But both very good. He has a bachelor's in biology and a medical degree. He was an emergency room physician in the 80s, but ended up basically leaving all of it behind after his experience with extraterrestrials. And this is kind of where I'm getting into like Caitlin's yogi retreat that she had. But well, he went on in his life. He founded the Center for Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which you guys may know of as CSETI. And the Disclosure Project, and he's dedicated his life to sharing information on extraterrestrials with different administrations, government officials, as well as, you know, just normal people in the world like me and you. And even in like 2001, he held a press conference in D.C. that featured 20 retired Air Force, Federal Aviation Administration and intelligence officers on extraterrestrials. And he has briefed every president's administration since Bush Senior. Oh, wow. So he's sort of the guy that you call if you want to talk about extraterrestrials.
Sounds like it.
And according to Dr. Stephen Greer, he has not only been a witness to countless UFO phenomenon and close encounters, but he's also had conversations with extraterrestrials through transcendental meditation.
Ah.
And transcendental meditation was created and introduced in India in the mid-1950s by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And it is a non-religious method for relaxation, stress reduction, and most importantly, self-development and discovery of self. And it's essentially a meditation. It takes place for like 15, 20 minutes. You do it twice a day, and it involves the use of a mantra. Repeating a mantra, which can be sounds, it can be a saying, it can be whatever in your head to get you into this deep meditative state. So Stephen Greer was trained in this form of meditation. He opened a meditation center, and he was all about it. He wanted to help people live happier, healthier, more meaningful lives, right? Well, one day he was on a mountainside practicing his meditation, and during his meditation, he was approached by this being. And he felt comfort and a strong conscious connection with this being, so much so that he allowed it to take him to their craft or ship or what another place. Like his body, like we were saying earlier, body stayed on the mountain. His consciousness went elsewhere and had like a full on business meeting with this extraterrestrial. Like notes were taken. It was like a serious, they sat down and worked shit out. And during this meditation and this meeting with this extraterrestrial, he began to understand so much about collective consciousness and it not just being a collective amongst humans and not even just like a collective amongst all the creatures and biological life in our living world, but also a cosmic consciousness and connection we have to the entire universe and the beings within it. And that the actions we take affect everything and vice versa. And through conscious connections, we can essentially change the world. So he developed with this being this trans-dimensional light being, together they developed what is known today as CE5 protocols. And those are, it is literally a how-to of how to talk to aliens. And you don't have to buy a book and you don't have to go to a $400 seminar. You can literally go to their website and it will give you a step-by-step instruction on how to talk to extraterrestrials. If
well,
you
that's cool.
Want to do so.
I like it.
I think we all do.
Yeah. I think we're all on board.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Talking to ETs. It's all done through meditation. It's all performed through consciousness because as he explains it, these beings are on a much higher consciousness level than we are. And not only do they rely on consciousness for communication and life and existence, but it also powers their technology. It's a melding of consciousness and technology, which is why their crafts behave in the way that they do. Because they aren't crafts at all, at least not like how we imagine with a cockpit and passengers and all that. But they're projections of consciousness that can phase in and out of 3D reality to be seen by us. Essentially, if they don't want us to see them, we're not going to see them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They can control it.
They're not going to be like, oops, forgot to push the shield, forgot to push the camouflage button.
Right.
Like if they are seen by us, it's because they wanted to. So I'm not going to go into like the steps because you can look that up online of like how to communicate with aliens. But there are CE5 events all over the world and they're very cool. But also during these events, like not only do people witness multiple crafts and witness beings and have these like amazing experiences, like people have also had like healing experiences mm-hmm. with them. One particular story that I found really interesting was a man named Ed, and he tells this story in that documentary. He attended the CE5 event. And he shared that he had worn his hearing aids almost his entire life and still could barely hear even with the aids. He just had horrible hearing. He had hearing loss since high school. And he actively avoided parties and public gatherings his entire life because he was embarrassed and frustrated by not ever being able to hear people.
Yeah.
And so he kind of became, he's like, you know, I'm not an introvert, but I'm it's like forced introversion because I can't hear.
Right.
And so he went to the CE5 event. They witnessed some UFOs. It was really magical, whatever. That night he was getting ready for bed when he felt the urge to go outside. He felt like drawn outside. So he went out and he saw a light nearer to the ground, not like in the sky, but like in the field. It was like a light and he approached it. Because he felt like it was pulling him towards it. And he said he attempted to communicate with it telepathically and eventually accomplished it. And they spoke about existence and consciousness and time and space. And they talked for an hour. And he happened to ask, like, is there anything you can do about my hearing? And the being said yes. And, you know, this was also witnessed by another person, too, a young guy who saw Ed standing next to a light in the field and was just sort of like, that's what they're there for. So it was like, holy shit, is something happening with Ed? Like, I can't wait to talk to him about this.
Right.
And the next day he went out to have breakfast. Ed went out to have breakfast with everyone and he could hear them.
Wow.
And like he's telling the story, he's barely getting the story out of his mouth. He's like choking up, he's crying, and he said he never wore his hearing aids again.
That is insane. Oh, that makes me feel emotional. That's so wild.
And you can hear this and go like, please, and like roll your eyes and say, you know, these people are just doing drugs. But this isn't a new idea. Like meditating, speaking to beings, being healed, being shown visions, being taught things. Like this has been happening since the beginning of time. We hear about it.
I think with skepticism in general, like it really bothers me when someone's skepticism is rooted in their lack of knowledge about something rather than if you
abundance
want to stop
of because, knowledge.
Yeah, like negating someone else's experience but also not being able to offer an explanation. It's mm-hmm. like just grow up, man.
Yeah. Like, why are you bringing this negativity? You didn't have a better theory for this, so.
Well, and the theory is usually you made it up.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's fine, but I personally know I didn't. And also there are multiple witnesses to what I saw. Like, oh, well, it's mass hysteria. It's like, well, then explain mass hysteria.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also in the situations of healing, like if you were to tell that story and say like it was definitely through meditation that he was able to have this communication, then this experience, I would be upset if then someone came from a religious standpoint and was like, well, that couldn't happen because then you're saying that this and this doesn't exist. And it's like, let's look back in the Bible and at all of the stories throughout the history of religion of people being
Jesus
healed by Jesus. Yeah. Or by, you know, in whatever case it was, it has to be in their mind, some religious sort of healing. And it's like, okay, again, as we mentioned in the last episode, we're saying the same thing. We just have different ways of going about it. But let me have this belief that I was healed, and I'll let you have this belief that Jesus heals, and we can believe that healings happen in these different ways. I don't know. I get so annoyed when religion Sure. gets brought into it to disprove somebody saying that they had a paranormal or supernatural experience. It's like, we're saying the same thing, basically.
Yeah, but religion is a very, the problem is that if they believe what you're saying, they could have consequences.
Sure.
It's not They'll just something trouble. Where it's like, no problem. It's like, well, I'm going to hell now.
I'm
going
to go to hell for eternity.
Which is just, as a concept, insane. But we...
Well, there's actually an entity called Seth, this channel during the 70s, her name was Jane Roberts, used to channel an entity named Seth who wrote...
Are you saying Seth as in like Seth Green?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I was going to ask the same thing. Okay, great.
I love that.
Uh-huh. And she wrote this book, she wrote several books that, you know, she claims at least are channeled from this entity. And they talk about, I mean, if anyone's loving the, you know, the aspect of multidimensional reality and all this, you know, stuff, I think it would be really fascinating for anyone out there. It's called Seth Speaks by Jane Roberts. But basically, she's dictating it. Her husband's recording it. And she's just channeling this entity that identifies itself as Seth. They talk about like being an interdimensional being, but they also talk about all kinds of things from religion to philosophy to history to science, math, like all kinds of different concepts. But when you guys were just talking about hell, they talked about how like, you know, your vision, whatever you invest your mental energy into creating as your perceived afterlife is where you're going to spend some time at least. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that like that existed. And especially like if a lot of people believe in hell and they have sort of similar visual images for it, like that becomes a space, you know, yeah. that you can draw yourself to. But ultimately, you know, you're not going to spend eternity there. But like you can create hell. You know, you can go there if you want to, if yeah. you fixate on it enough.
Yeah, if it's all you're thinking about.
Even in like in Buddhist teachings, like hell is a state of mind that you mm-hmm. can be in on Earth.
Right. Yeah. You can put yourself there right now if you want to.
Yeah, I'm there all the time.
Plenty of my life in hell, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I've visited.
I spend a lot of time there.
It's fine.
I was also going to speak to the healing bit, too, because my day job is as a massage therapist, mm-hmm. and I do also this work that it's, like, influenced by energy work. It's influenced by craniosacral therapy, which is a whole different thing, working with spinal fluid. But there are so many times with a client where if I can just get them to relax, there just is a spontaneous healing of their pain. Mm-hmm. And my job really is to just like do whatever they believe is going to heal them. Mm. And there's actually pain science behind that the client expectations are actually the most important factor in reducing pain in a sort of medical visit like that.
Wow.
And, you know, where it's something like back pain and they're seeing, you know, a physical therapist, a massage therapist, something like that. I'm not talking about like someone who just fell out of a tree and needs like surgery, you know. Right. I'm not like, right. What do you expect your back to be broken? Although if you get into the science of these things and like these quantum realities and whatever, that is a thing, you know, where like
where you can heal yourself.
Yeah. Right. Or like you even put yourself mm-hmm. in that tree, you know, into that position. And the things that come up that need healing are usually things that are pointing to something in our lives that we need to adjust our energy around, whether we need more sleep or the job we're doing isn't right, or maybe we're having trouble sticking up for ourselves. And that affects like a part of your body that's like a metaphor for it, you know? So often these healings can come too if you have a change. Like if you're talking to an interdimensional being and you're having this experience of like your consciousness expanding, incredible changes can happen in the body pretty spontaneously. Because at the end of the day, like with science, like medicine, like we are labeling stuff and we're picking it apart mm-hmm. and we're like figuring out how things work, but we are labeling it. We are not controlling it, you know, like we're not yeah. in charge of it. We're just observing it for the most yeah. part and making our best guesses. But nobody actually knows how like the human body is going to respond to any given scenario.
Yeah. And there have been tests and experiments and all kinds of things done where like under hypnosis or under deep meditation, you can cause physical pain to the human mm-hmm. body and not yeah. feel it. Or you can stick a pin into a human skin and say, don't bleed, and the body mm-hmm. will not bleed. And it's not something that everyone has access. Well, everyone does have access to it, but like how to access it is a complete one. It takes a yeah. lot of work. It's not just like, well, I'll pay someone.
It takes so much practice
and I'll just
get
it
to that level.
So much practice. And you have to be so fucking brutally honest with right. yourself about everything. And that's hard. It's way easier to just, you know, be like, God won't give me anything right. I can't handle.
You have
right.
to
you know
face
what I mean?
All
like,
of your
that's
demons
easier.
Head on.
Yeah.
Well, and at the end of the day, too, I think, so I was meditating one day and I was kind of half asleep. And it was a time, it was kind of recently and I would say like a month ago, and at the time I was microdosing a lot with mushrooms, and mm-hmm. I was like doing a lot of deep dives into like consciousness and how to, you know, manipulate my reality, which isn't the best approach. Is like even the word manipulate is not great, but like yeah. you know, how to like be the reality boss and like how to like change mm-hmm. things and create
shift
stuff and make things more magical mm-hmm. and this voice in my head, with maybe it was an alien, maybe who knows, but it was like I was kind of half asleep, and you know how sometimes you can hear things that you know aren't in the space around you, you're just, but it's you know,
yes,
an audio
time.
experience. And it was like I was hearing these people talking, and they were kind of like talking about me as I was kind of half asleep, and I was trying to listen into what they were saying. It was just like hushed whispers, and then one of them was just like, God, she just like wants to know everything, and she came here to not know everything, and it's really annoying. like, why
harsh.
Is she trying to figure it out? She's like, came here to play the stupid game, and now she's like, it's like opening a board game, and then instead of playing the game, just like reading the rules over and over, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what, that's not the fun part. And so sometimes like our journey is just like having the disease or the injury or something, and mm-hmm. whatever, you know, adventure that takes us on.
Right.
So according to Dr. Stephen Greer and many others in the UFO community, not just him, and it's not just based on his studies, but the overwhelming message that people have received from these beings, whether you believe they are spiritual, whether you believe they're interdimensional, or whether you believe they come from a far off planet, is cosmic consciousness. You know, I've told the story a million times on the show before, so I'm not going to go into detail again. But the fact that events like 9/11 and the death of Princess Diana caused disruptions to random number generators around the world shows that there's some sort of collective consciousness occurring between mm-hmm. us as people. And our world is a mess. There's hunger and poverty and war and disease and pain and suffering, and that's abundant. And the rest of us who are like doing fine, you know, we have a roof over our head and we have food and we're warm. We have anxiety and depression and disorders and weird physical pains. Like as a species, we're a little bit of a mess. if collective consciousness is real, that means that we are all in some way experiencing the pain of others. And it's a sick cycle that we can't really get out of. And it also means that we can all be cured by taking care of each mm-hmm. other and by healing each yeah. other and healing our world. And if you look at our species, I said this earlier, we are violent and we are destructive. And our technology is a direct mirror of that. Like, we burn fossil fuels, mining for coal. We're digging into the earth and like splitting rocks and getting to the core. We split atoms. It's all destruction. Like, every form of our technology is a breaking down of something. And as our technology advanced, our connection to our planet was severed. We don't grow our own food. We don't kill our own meat. We don't compost our waste. Most of us don't even water our own lawns. And we're kind of a parasite. We don't even let our own dead bodies feed the earth. We put them in boxes and preserve them with earth poisoning chemicals. Like, that's how much we don't contribute to our fucking planet or the life.
We do not take care of our planet in the slightest.
And like you were saying, Caitlin, earlier, how like this yogi retreat, this meditation retreat, like somehow attracted all this wildlife mm-hmm. and all these amazing animals, and it was beautiful. And it's like, yeah, that sure, that could be manufactured. Well, maybe not a butterfly on a deer, but like. Vegetation can be manufactured and things can look pretty, but the theory essentially is that if we can find a means of energy that is peaceful and natural, whether it's wind, sun, kinetic, or consciousness, if we can get that high, if we can feed the hungry and heal the sick, our conscious connection to each other and our world will grow yeah. again. And then our cosmic connection to other beings in the universe will be close behind that. But until we can sort of do this with each other, there's not really a way that we can, on a mass scale, do it with other beings.
Right. We're not taking care of what's right in front of us, so how are we going to connect to something way outside of us?
Mm-hmm. And if you think that there is a cosmic consciousness and there are beings that are of higher consciousness, they would be able to feel Earth's pain. They would want to save us from suffering because it saves them from suffering. Well, you yeah. know what I mean?
Well, that's what I think is interesting with all of the abduction stories and with, you know, when I was talking about the alien species in our last episode, so many stories, no matter which species people were claiming to have interacted with, or, you know, if we're going on the line of, you know, whatever they imagined in their head that they were seeing, every time it was some sort of conversation about saving the environment. Like, that is the majority of the messages that were received, whether these people were dreaming, whether there was an actual abduction, no matter what, they were trying to be shown some sort of map and get some sort of instructions to better care for both themselves and for the planet. Like, I made that joke about them being environmentalists, but that's such a common thing that people were experiencing with these other beings, is learning different ways to take care of the planet and to better the earth. And it's like, I think absolutely that is the message that we're getting from these other beings, because they are feeling our sadness and they're feeling us the way our planet's falling apart, and they're trying to help.
Well, and also, you know, those they always get posted on like your aunt's Facebook, but and I don't mean you,
I know,
Lauren,
what you mean,
but like
somebody's aunt Susie.
Where they'll post a picture of, like, how, you know, our irises look like a galaxy of stars. Or, like, lightning looks the same as tree roots. And
the fractal universe.
Yeah, the veins in our body. We are the world around us. Yeah. We're part of it. We came from it, and we are still a part of it. But we have lost the connection to it because we don't – I mean, I went outside – once in the last 4 days. Of course, I'm like incredibly depressed. Like, that's why. But like, we don't have that same connection.
Well, I'm like slightly less, I think, anti-human than.
Oh, I'm not anti-human. I just know how. I'm just it's sort of like American nationalism, where it's like, I just don't have any national, I don't have any like human like
pride.
What up? Yeah, like human pride. It's just sort of like, listen, we're flawed.
I think we are flawed, and I think we do endanger, you know, obviously a lot of species and a lot of environments through just, like, being idiots, and we have developed all kinds of stuff, like, destructively. But I also think that there are a lot of benefits to the environment from having humans around when we are, like, not motivated by greed. And even just for existing, like, trees, you know, their photosynthesis, a lot, like, plants, they depend on us to breathe air, you know, and our waste product is what they breathe, and vice versa. Like, there is a synergy there that, like, no matter how many of them we chop down, that relationship still exists. And there's even, you know, if you look at indigenous cultures and people that I, you know, I think the pendulum has swung so far in this opposite direction of, like, oh, we are just, you know, the industrial revolution and our technology getting kind of faster than we can keep a control over it. But we're also innovating all these solutions, and we're discovering, like, oh, there's, like, algae that feeds off of plastic. Well, that's convenient, you know? And, like, just there's all these things in our universe, too, that show that we are sort of supposed to be here. But, yes, we are supposed to be more aware of our surroundings and, you know, spending time in nature. There's a reason it makes you feel good. It's, like, we are energetically reset by that because we've created all this separation from it. And I think it's just part of our game and being here. But it's, like, now we've realized, like, we've created all these sci-fi universes, you know, and a lot of them are dystopian. And so we have created, like, we're living in this very strange cyberpunk dystopian time, you know, where, like, there's, like, killer drones and sex robots and, like, you know.
Rock,
like,
and roll.
Zoom, right. Yeah, like, Zoom shows and, like, whatever the fuck. You know, I feel like it's just been a choice. And, yeah, like, we can make better choices in general. I used to be very, like, oh, we do nothing. And I do think, like, we have the potential to be really good for the environment. Like, because we can clear brush away from an area, we can plant seeds, we can, you know, like, do things that do really benefit the earth. And, you know, just the natural relationship that we're, I mean, look at cats. They're doing great because of us.
Yeah.
It's true.
That is true.
We're taking care of them cats.
Cats and dogs are thrilled that humans exist.
They're thriving.
I am optimistic in some ways because I do think, and maybe I'm just paying more attention to it now, but it seems like there are more people now who are trying to save our planet and keep it alive and do more functional things for it than there used to be. I think it seems like people are starting to be a little more awake about it now. So I do have hope that we can live in this good world where we are reconnecting with Earth and we are finding out how we can help each other. But I just know I see both sides because I do think there's so many people who are just fucking it up left and right. And I'm like, ooh.
There's just so much that's beyond our control.
Yeah.
But where you put your attention is where, to me, it's like that's where the energy goes. So you can basically get yourself onto a timeline into the parallel dimension where we are in harmony with the environment by focusing on the cases where we are. And that's the world you're going to live in, you know? While someone else, like, 5 feet away from you could just be focused on the destruction, and that's the world they live in, you know?
Right. I'm just going to move to the top of a mountain and hang out there and hope everything stays peaceful. That's my goal.
That's not a bad plan.
I'm just going to go deeper inside my own mind.
She's just going to, Caitlin's, we're going to find her, like, comatose in her bed, and we're going to be like, good for her.
She did it. She got away. Here lies her body. I don't know where her consciousness is, but it's somewhere great.
I'll keep your body safe and clean.
Yep.
While you explore the universe.
Just throw it in a ditch.
But according to Stephen Greer and his team, the extraterrestrials are kind of waiting for enough of us to show that we're open, conscious, and ready to communicate with them. Because, you know, as advanced as they are, they're still a little wary of us. They know they know what we are capable of. And if you think about like approaching a tribe of like uncontacted people and attempting to convert them to something like Christianity, you wouldn't just like dance your way in and be like, our God is an awesome God, he reigns. Like you would, that's not the way to do it. You're going to get murdered pretty quickly.
Right.
But like to kind of like wrap this sort of thought process up, the thing that I find so interesting about this, besides everything about it, but this kind of would explain why the government wouldn't want us to know. Mm-hmm. Because that is a question that's frustrating as hell. Like, why would they hide it from us? The narrative that we've been told through different forms of media, TV, movies, is that they can't tell us because we just lose our dang minds. Right. But 2020 showed us that's a lie, because we were sort of told and everyone just went like, yeah, we know. And like
everyone
moved on.
So chill. Like, so guys, chill. Aliens are probably real and UFOs are all around us. And we were all like, yep, all right.
Like, I got a lot going on my plate at the moment.
You know what?
Actually super busy.
I still have like 3 seasons of 90 Day Fiancé to get through before I can concentrate on anything else.
Do not I'll see how this affects me.
But yeah, so like we now know, we have definitive proof that society wouldn't collapse if we were told that ETs were real. But you know what would collapse? Probably.
The government.
The government.
The economy.
The 1%. Yeah. Military industrial complex, elite, people in power. Like if we were able to make contact and have contact and learn from and all of this, like we have the potential of having an abundance of natural resources and energy. And who would that hurt? It's not gonna be us. Yeah. Like it's not gonna be the poor, the sick, the dying. It would be
everyone
the people
power.
That the reptilians off of, it would be the fucking reptilians again.
It's the reptilian presidents, I tell ya.
The nasty boys. That what I call them, the nasty boys.
The nasty boys.
They would profit off. You know, they profit off of struggles that we have. And if we prove that aliens are real and they're here and they could teach us how to live in peace and harmony, like that's not great for
truth.
People in powerful positions. And it would also explain why the government are like, these aren't aliens. We've never been contacted by aliens. We've tried and tried and tried. They just aren't there. Well, they wouldn't communicate with anyone who had nefarious intentions or who, you know, you really do have to, and everyone says this when approaching transcendental meditation, for example, or these CE5 events, is like you really have to come at it with a high vibration, with sort of like pure heart, with like a childlike innocence about it. Mm-hmm. Because like you were saying, Caitlin, like when you look at something, if you look at the negative parts of it, that's what you're going to get back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we have sayings about this in our culture. You know, glass half full, glass half empty. What are you? And that's real. Like, that is a reality that we determine.
Right. Is everyone okay?
Drop stuff.
I heard there she a loud goes. Sound and then everyone went quiet. So I was like, oh no, is somebody hurt?
She's just astral projecting again.
I was like, should I say something? Was that loud?
We all just went quiet after Ashley's making like these wonderful points. Yeah, that was great.
I was so absorbed, I just knocked everything off my desk.
What do you guys see as the next thing that's going to happen with extraterrestrials? And do you more so believe, I think, Caitlin, I think I know what you believe, but like, Lauren, do you believe? Caitlin's like, I am one. Do you believe more in like the spiritual, like transdimensional consciousness type beings, or more of a physical sort of like, I can feel it, I can touch it, it's coming from Mars?
I more and more, especially after what I was reading today, and I mean, and honestly, especially from Caitlin's stories today, I believe that it is more of something that comes to us in a dream, and that the experiences are still just as real as if the physical form was there. Mm-hmm. But the more I like was learning even about the species and how people were describing them, I was going back to classic abduction stories and rereading them. And in almost every case, I was able to be like, oh, it sort of seems like this was more in their dream. And yeah. that's why it was so vivid, and that, like, so many of these otherworldly things happened is because I think they were experiencing it, you know, through their mind and possibly through sleep. And I don't know. That's kind of what I'm buying into now.
Well, I can, I don't know about you guys. Can you feel sensations in your dreams?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, because some people don't. So. Some people are like, I don't feel anything. And it's like, you don't feel it, like pain? Like when pain happens in your dream, like you don't feel it? But some people don't.
Yeah, I can feel pain and even like deep pleasure without getting too much into it.
Lauren. There's even like a very tangible scientific medical thing behind dreams where certain hormones will be released in your body. Oh, yeah. So it is a healing process, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
And you are having literal sensations in the, on that level, at least. And I would guess the people that don't think that they feel in their dreams probably just like aren't maybe connecting with their memories that well, or like maybe they just have a different experience, but who yeah. knows.
Pain is sort of registered in the brain. Like it's not actually, you know, it's just signals to the brain that says ouch, ouch, ouch. So the fact that we can feel during our dreams makes total sense, because that's all that's happening. Yeah, I'm also growing more and more and more in love with the theories on the conscious beings and on the vibrational beings and light beings and things that sort of aren't as physical. Like I can't knock on the craft. I can't walk up and knock on it. Right. You know what I mean? But like it still exists. It's just it's not what we thought it was.
You can knock on the craft anytime you want. You can just
this
sit
is why
down,
I love Caitlin.
Close
she
your
keeps
eyes.
Telling us we can still do the things that we want to.
If the craft is a rockin',
don't
come a knockin'.
You just close your eyes. You say, hey, aliens, what's up? I'm ready to party. Visualize a craft in front of you. Knock on it. Just see what happens. Just fuck around, you know?
Just fuck around and find out. This is what I love, though, Ashley. I don't know if you feel this, too. Is like we've been doing alien episodes since season one, and it's been a very popular topic, and our listeners love it. I think it's cool how much our minds have changed about aliens.
For sure.
And like, it's been cool to see our growth. Like, sorry, I'm like having a moment, but I just think we thought of them as something totally different in season one. It's just amazing with the information that's come out, and even just us, I think, connecting more with ourselves and understanding the world. It's just crazy how much our minds have changed. And Caitlin, you also taught us so much tonight. So
I'm so happy to be a part of this journey. I do enough shouting at the stereo when I hear people talking about aliens. So it's good to do it from the other end of the mic.
I love it.
Maybe we should all do a CE5 event. Because that was one thing I was going to say, like when I was wrapping up, you know, that, and we might as well do it now. That's all the time we have for Keep It Weird. But thank you so much for listening. Caitlin, thank you so much for coming on the show. And it's been such a long time coming, and I can't wait to like meet you in person.
I know.
Oh my God.
Crazy.
Sounds weird.
We've never met you.
Because I feel like I know you so well.
That is weird.
It's very strange.
And I've only met Eric once, which is truly
which
also
is wild.
Very strange.
Okay, that's actually 10 times weirder. I can't believe that.
I could barely look at him when we met in person. I was like, this is wrong.
You're not really here.
You're not a physical being.
you're a light being.
Yeah. Well, it was such a pleasure to come on. I love talking about aliens. I'm so happy to be part of this conversation. And I hope anyone who, you know, this resonated with will check out not only Doth, your book. I actually used to do a podcast called Hardcore Healing that I'll probably bring back at some point.
Ooh,
please.
But we talk about different healing modalities because that's sort of another, obviously, a passion of mine and part of my, you know, career. And what else? My last album is kind of spacey influenced, and that's Deus Ex Machina, and it's spelled D-A-E-U-S, not the Latin traditional way. And my name is Caitlin D, and I have an Instagram, and it's at... Sorry, I'm just blanched into all
I'm
my
I'm obsessed.
Clubs.
Keep going. Okay.
Great. It's Caitlin, C-A-I-T-L-I-N-D-E-E.
E-E-E-E-E.
Five.
It's five E's, yeah.
That's so important.
That's me, and then the other podcast is at Gothier Book. That's yes. all. And you know what? Meet up with me on the in the dream world.
Yeah. On the yes. astral plane.
On the astral. Those were the words I was looking for.
Yeah. The old astral.
Definitely follow Caitlin on Instagram. She's got, if you're in LA, we've got some live shows coming up in August.
That's true.
Lauren's going to be performing in July. So all my LA
My music isn't as cool as Caitlin's, but if you just want to dance the night away, definitely stay tuned for my
That's
live
also
music
very well. Cool.
Listen, I'll be at both and I'll have bells on.
Yay.
Yeah, and Goth Yearbook's Instagram is at Goth Yearbook. Our Instagram is at Keep It Weirdcast. We're also on Twitter and Facebook sometimes. And we also have a very fun Facebook group where we're all good friends. If you want to find ways you can support our show financially while also reaping some serious benefits like discounts on merch, shout outs on the show, bonus episodes, and newsletters, check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast. You can donate $1, $5, or $10 to the show once, or set it up to donate monthly, and you can get a lot of cool stuff. And you can also rep some of our merch by heading over to www.etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast. We've got shirts and pants and bags and blankets and buttons and patches, whatever your weird little heart desires. Caitlin, what's our sign-off this week?
Shoot. Eric always does this. I just mentally check out by the end of the episode.
If it makes you feel any better, we're terrible at our own sign-off.
That's why we always put it on the guests, and we do not warn them that it's coming.
All right. I'm going to go with cowabunga, baby.
Cowabunga, yes. Baby.
Cowabunga, baby, and keep
it weird.
Keep it weird.